From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
And I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
He has often said, "Our children are the living messages that we send to a future we will never see." As such, he has worked to assure quality education and healthcare and a strong economy for the next generation. He has dedicated his life to public service, uplifting and empowering others, a son of Howard University. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today is the U.S. Representative of the 7th Congressional District of Maryland, the Honorable Elijah E. Cummings. Welcome to The Journey.
I'm very pleased to be here, Mr. President.
So, Congressman Cummings, you were born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood and those experiences as you were growing up.
Well, first of all, my parents were former sharecroppers, and they grew up in Manning, South Carolina. They moved to Baltimore before six of us were born. There's seven of us in total, and my children and my family. And they moved to Baltimore so we could get an education. They had been deprived of an education. Neither one of them got past the sixth grade. They were forced to plow the fields, pick the strawberries, and pick the tobacco. And so coming up, I was early on placed in special ed from the kindergarten to the middle of the sixth grade, to beginning of the sixth grade. And you know, I tell people that I grew up, we grew up very poor, but we really didn't know we were poor. But I also grew up in a very segregated Baltimore. I knew, but I did know it was segregated. I attended a school with nine rooms in it, no playground, no cafeteria, no auditorium, no gymnasium. And on within about a football field away was the big white school. Whites only, pretty much, and they had about 50 rooms, gymnasium, giant auditorium. And when I was in the sixth grade, a lot happened. The whole trajectory of my whole life changed from several events. One, the NAACP led a group of my neighbors and boys and girls to a nearby neighborhood that was only about eight blocks away. But they had an Olympic-sized pool. We had just a little wading pool in our area. And after about 7 days of marching, we were able to integrate that pool. I was only maybe sixth grade, maybe 10, 11. And for the first time, I realized I had rights. Mm. And I also realized that while there was a difference between the way we were growing up in the Black neighborhood and the way whites were growing up, I realized I could make a difference. Shortly after that, I met a teacher in my school who had just gotten there. His name, a fellow named Hollins Posey. He helped me to get out of special ed and convinced me that I could achieve almost anything.
You've mentioned a couple of things that speak to the fact that when we instill confidence in others, they rise to that occasion.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, as you put on your legislative hat and you look at the downtrodden, those who otherwise are marginalized on the edges of society, where while we still have a conversation in our country about whether or not government should play a role, not too much, etc., what's your perspective?
I always say that out of my pain comes my passion to do my purpose. And you hit the nail right on the head. One thing about me that I've learned, I study my own life, and I notice that a lot of times it's hard for me to get the confidence to do something. But once I get a little confidence, it's almost like lifting off and going into orbit. And that's how my whole life has been. And so when I see others, like in my neighborhood in the inner city of Baltimore, I see people that may not have the confidence, or maybe they don't even know they have the gifts. And so when I see them, I see me. And it allows me, you know, my own experiences have allowed me to have a passport to not only be able to relate to them and not look down on them, but to, you know, grab their hand and say, you know what, I was able to achieve certain things, and I know that you can do it too. And then to try to help them get through that. And by the way, government has a role in all of that. I mean, it really does. Sometimes I listen to some of my colleagues on Capitol Hill act as if they have never been helped by government. But government plays a role. You know, you're talking about scholarships, small business loans, the highways we drive on, everything. Government plays a significant role.
Now, obviously, your educational career brought you here to Howard.
Yeah.
Why Howard University?
Howard, when I was, it's an amazing story. When I was a little boy, my mother had a dentist named Dr. Washington. And I'll never forget, as a little boy, again, around that same sixth grade time, I was standing in his waiting area, and I saw these degrees, Howard University. And he said to me, I said, you know, is that where you went to school? And he says, yeah. I said, well, that's where I want to go to school. And he talks, and it shows you how you can plant a seed. So Dr. there were very, very, very few African-American doctors and dentists. Matter of fact, I only knew two doctors and one dentist that were African-American. And after that, I just sort of just zeroed in on Howard. And the other thing is that I had a lot of people who I admired. In Baltimore, who had gone to Howard. As a matter of fact, my mentor, a fellow named Larry Gibson, who had gone to Howard, he was sitting on the school board, and I said, you know what, this is where I want to go.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Congressman Cummings. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, you get to Howard University at an interesting time in the nation's history. What did you meet here?
When I got here, I was the first, I can never forget, the first day I was here. Somebody came over to me and said, you want to go and see the moon rocks? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they had just gotten moon rocks here from the moon. And I'm like, you mean they gave African-American people some moon rocks? And so I went over to see the moon rocks. But I tell you the thing that really fascinated me, and I can remember, Mr. President, the feeling I had to this day. I feel it right now. When I looked around and saw all these African-American professionals, I just couldn't believe it. I'd never seen anything like that, ever. And that really, it made me feel, you know, you were talking a moment ago about confidence and sort of seeing where you can go. When I saw them, I knew that I could do well, because here were people that looked like me, but I'd never seen that many. And then I went into the classrooms, and I had just absolutely awesome teachers who had a passion for teaching. And you know what else I got here? Howard taught me to lead. The whole time I was here, we were constantly young. And I tell people, you don't just judge a school by the professors and the physical plant. You also judge it by the students. And I went to school with just some phenomenal human beings.
And, you know, to make sure that the record reflects it, you said that you started in special ed and you came to Howard University. You were the sophomore class president. You were in the student government president, graduated Phi Beta Kappa. That's quite a journey from where you came. So I think the record needs to reflect that. Just as important, Thurgood Marshall, one of our graduates from Howard Law School, previously, I've heard a story told by Vernon Jordan of sitting in a classroom and listening to Thurgood Marshall get teary-eyed telling the story of not getting into University of Maryland and getting into Howard Law School and how that shaped his life.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, you attended and graduated from University of Maryland School of Law.
Yeah.
But just as you pointed out earlier, you knew very few African-American doctors and dentists. Today, Howard University and Meharry account for 50% of the black dentists in this country.
Wow.
When people talk of progress, but then still look at some of those things, putting it in perspective, what do you think, having the first African-American president in the White House, what's your assessment of the progress and what we still need to do?
I think we made tremendous progress. I never thought, Mr. President, that I would, in my lifetime, see a man of color in the White House. As a matter of fact, to this day, although I meet with him and talk to him all the time, and I'm in the White House constantly, Sometimes I walk out and I have to pinch myself. And you know, I think I'm in a dream because of the way we grew up. But we still have a long way to go. We really do. When I look at Baltimore and so many people, my neighbors sitting in prisons for nonviolent drug offenses, when I see the education system, it's far from what I would like for it to be. Mm-hmm. I see the disparity between, say, Howard County, which is also a part of my district, which is a more affluent county, and Baltimore. There's a world of difference. When I look at the health needs, you know, you have some zip codes in Baltimore where there's a life expectancy of 20 or 25 years. I mean, literally within less than a mile. Depending, you know, and so, you know, there's still a lot to be done. And that's why Howard is so important. I tell people that, you know, when I speak at Howard, and I speak often, I remind the students that this is bigger than us. When my father whipped me to Howard, I got to tell you this story real quick. When my father whipped me to Howard, he got me to Carver Hall, and he was sitting outside and said, "Now, boy, you know, you come here to get an education, boy, and your mom and we done brought you far as we can, and I want you to go in there and I want you to get blessed so you can bless." I will never forget that. Get blessed so you can bless. I mean, if you really think about it, I think about my father all the time, because those words, that needs to be the motto for all of us. He wasn't just concerned about me. Right. You know, he just assumed I was going to be okay. Right. He's saying, you got to go out there and help somebody else. And that's what I got from Howard.
Right. That's absolutely an incredible story. As I sit here today and I think of our alum and I think of all of the accomplishments that we have, and at the same time I juxtapose that against where people are having an influence, I get the opportunity as a 17th president to turn on my television set and look at CNN, see Baltimore riots, but then see you with a Howard cap on leading the charge to get people to do the right thing, to follow, you know, the circumstances and follow the solutions as well. What is your perspective about the recent situation in our country when you look at the black male and the interaction with the criminal justice system, not just on the prison side, but in terms of policing?
Yeah, black lives do matter. And see, where I live, I get to see what people complain about. We have a number of police, not just in Baltimore, but throughout the country, who don't belong on police forces. My life is, I mean, when I think about my life, it is simply incredible. I mean, just the other night, I met with the heads of gangs in Baltimore, and they trusted me enough to sit down and tell me what they were feeling. And I got to tell you, it got very emotional for me, because, I mean, I could understand how upset they were and how, you know, they were trying not to turn on each other, and I was trying to help them get through that. We've got a lot of work to do. I'm working with gangs. I'm working with the police. I'm working with everybody that I can to try to bring better policing to our cities. And because Mr. President, one thing we got to keep in mind: the police need the community, but the community needs the police.
That's it.
And so there has to be that trust established. And so we've got a long way to go, but I'm confident that through efforts, that one-on-one efforts with the gangs, with the police, and legislative efforts, all of those things now are moving more towards a bipartisan type of situation. Anytime you got the ACLU and the Koch brothers on the same panel, I mean, that says a lot. But I think we are on to something. But I think it's going to take some strong leadership, and it's got to be persistent and consistent.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Congressman Cummings, and as I get the opportunity to interact with my alum and to use this platform to send out the messages about Howard University, I have to say you're certainly one of the people that I always think of when I think of why Howard University is great. We thank you for all that you do.
I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.